Want to welcome you here today, and I think welcome to summer. I think summer has finally arrived, and we're glad for that. Want to welcome those that are joining us online, as well as over at our Westside campus. We're glad to have all of you with us today. Last week, we launched a study of the life of one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament, a guy by the name of Daniel. And the theme for this series is how to live a life that is unshakable. And our lives are going to have some shaking that happens around them. And of course, we know Daniel's world was definitely shaken. And when we look at his life, there's more adventure, more death threats, more political intrigue, more raw courage in the life of Daniel than many blockbuster movies that we could see today. We're talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark and Mission Impossible, even Jurassic Park. And you know, those stories are just fiction. What happened to Daniel was the real thing. And the story starts when Daniel is just 15 years old and winds up when he's about 85 years, and it's an amazing story. Now, last week, we learned how the nation of Israel had slipped into some significant spiritual decline. How they'd fallen into idolatry and immorality and injustice. And there were prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zephaniah who had been saying, hey, folks, if we don't get our act together, we are going to lose our freedom. And that's exactly what happened in 586 BC when God allowed the most powerful empire of that time, the Babylonian Empire, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, to defeat Israel and devastate that country. They destroyed the capital city of Jerusalem and took a large portion of the population back to Babylon as prisoners of war, where they were going to remain for 70 years. And that meant a lot of them lived and died there in Babylon. Well, one of those prisoners of war, we remember, was a teenager named Daniel, again, just 15 years old. And his life was shaken up pretty much. He never saw his family again. He would never return to his homeland. But his life is an amazing story because he starts out as an exile, and by the time he was 85, he had actually become the most powerful man in the empire, second only to the emperor. And not only did he literally save an empire, he also outlasted three administrations. Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar, who led the Babylonian Empire. And then when Cyrus, the great of the Persians, took over the empire, Daniel still retained his incredible influence. He was actually able to lead two of those emperors to believe in the authority and the sovereignty of God. It's an amazing story that demonstrates how to live a life that is unshakable. And what I love about Daniel's story, his example at every stage, from teenager to midlife to retirement, provides really something for everybody to grab hold of as Daniel experiences in his life some things that were really shaking him up and a number of tests. And that's what we're going to see over these next few weeks. And what we see from Daniel's life is that before blessing, there's always a testing. A lot of times we want the blessing and we want to try to avoid the testing. But if you're going to be blessed by God, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to be tested by God. We know in the Bible, it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Now, what does God want to find out when he tests our heart? You know what he wants to find out? Your character. He wants to find out my character. And so he will test us in areas like integrity and discipline and courage and humility. And he'll test you to expose your character. He wants to make sure that you're able to handle the blessing that he intends to give, whether it be power or influence or however he wants to bless you. He wants to make sure that you can actually handle it. And so in the weeks ahead, we're going to see how Daniel's character was tested on multiple occasions. And every time that Daniel passed the test, God would give him more influence or more power and even more insight into the things of God. You know that Daniel actually predicted a number of historic events before they ever happened. He predicted the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire. And you wonder, why did God reveal that to Daniel? Daniel had passed the test, and so God knew that he could trust him with that. God even revealed some things to Daniel about the future that he didn't reveal to anyone else other than John the Apostle, who wrote the book of Revelation. John and Daniel are the only two guys in history that God gave visions of how the world was going to end. Now, last week, we talked about going through major change in our life as we opened up the life of Daniel. And in your lifetime, you're going to experience some change, major changes a number of times. And so last week, we really looked at five purposes that God has for those problems that he brings into your life. And I would just encourage you, if you missed the message, catch up with it online if you get a chance, because it kind of sets the tone for the entire series. Today, we're going to look at this test that Daniel went through, and it's really a test of social pressure. And what we're going to discover is that God tests you with stress before he trusts you with success. He will put pressure on you to see if you can handle that. And what I'm talking about today is when you're pressured to conform to something that you know isn't right. And that pressure can come from a lot of different areas. It might even come from your friends, maybe your boss, possibly the government, any other authority in your life. And when you feel pressured to do something that you know isn't right, and it violates your conscience, how do you deal with that? What do you do? Well, when Nebuchadnezzar relocated many of the Israelite people to Babylon, he also selected some of the smartest and brightest and most gifted young people, and he brought them into the palace. And Daniel happened to be one of those that was selected. Remember, he's just 15 years old. And Nebuchadnezzar placed Daniel, along with many other exiles, in a 3-year indoctrination program where they were going to try to be totally reprogrammed. They wanted to instill in them a brand new lifestyle and replace their faith in God with a new religion. And because their Hebrew names were actually tied to their faith in the one true God, they renamed them after their pagan gods in order to brainwash them even further. You see, in Hebrew, the word Daniel means God is my judge. And he was renamed Belteshazzar, which means Bel protects me. And Bel was one of the pagan gods of Babylon. Hananiah's name meant God is gracious. And he was renamed Shadrach, which is one of the moon gods of Babylon. Mishael's name meant who is like God. And he was renamed Meshach, a fertility god from Babylon. And then even Azariah, whose name meant God has helped me, was renamed Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, yet another pagan god. Now, fortunately, Daniel was convicted that following God's way of doing things was better than following man's way of doing things. And that really is a great question for every one of us today. Do you really believe that God's ways are better? Do you really believe that? Because a lot of us, I think, well, we might say, hey, I think I believe God's ways might be better. But you know what? Man's ways are a lot more fun, a lot more easy sometimes. And so I want to remind you this morning that God's growth game plan looks a little bit like this. God's growth game plan is pay now, and then you can play later. Do the hard work on the front end, and then you can play later. The challenge is that the devil's got a shortcut to that, and he has a totally different plan that he wants to promote. And of course, his plan is just the opposite. His plan is play now and then pay later. And so he wants to lead us oftentimes down that path, lead us into sin and away from God. And one of the things I just want to remind you of this morning is this. You need to know that sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay in the end. And so we just got to be aware of that. Well, not only did they give these young guys new names and new identities, new jobs, new clothes, they also said, if you remember, you're going to get a whole new diet. You're not going to eat your Jewish food anymore. You're only going to be allowed to eat the Babylonian food as prescribed by the king. And we know that because when we get to Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, it literally says, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And then they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. So what's really going on here with this new diet? Well, anybody who's ever been on a really competitive athletic team or maybe has been an Olympic athlete, you would know what a training table is. Because when you're in serious training, you don't get to eat whatever you want. The coach tells you what you're going to eat. It's called a training table. And for Daniel and these friends, their diet was now going to be from the king's table. Now, that sounds like a pretty good thing, but it was really what we would call Daniel's first test, which we could call the food test. Daniel had to pass the food test. And of course, we know he did really with flying colors, because what we read in the first part of verse 8 is this. When Daniel got his new menu, it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Now, to defile means to corrupt or to contaminate. And so if you pour chemicals or toxic waste or sewage into a river, you have defiled the river. You have corrupted it. You have polluted it. So what might be so bad about eating Babylonian food? And what is it that would prompt Daniel, who, again, I keep saying, but it's hard to recognize, was just 15 years old. I mean, what would prompt him to take on the most powerful man in the world and say, hey, sorry, I'm not going to eat your food? Well, it was because this was just another part of the attempt to reprogram Daniel. They wanted him to forget about God and reject the values that had been installed in him from childhood. They wanted these young men to kind of forget about their spiritual heritage. And so they replaced everything for them, including their names and their diet. And that is when it says Daniel chose to draw the line. He knew it was going to compromise his identity. And I want you to know how he overcame this. I mean, it's genius. And if you take a look at it, here's what he did in Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read from the second part of verse 8 down through verse 16. Here's what he did. It says, he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of the Lord, my king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. And Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then compare our appearance to what the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. And so the guard took away their choice food and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. You see, your mom really did have a good reason for telling you needed to eat your vegetables. Well, you know, though Daniel's test was a challenge, it actually allowed Daniel to demonstrate four character qualities. And God really loves to bless these four character qualities in people's lives. And I would just want to say, whenever he sees these things in your life, I'd encourage you to get ready for some kind of blessing. Now, when I say that, I just want to make it clear that we're talking about God's blessing, not his love. Because the Bible says that God actually loves us unconditionally. You can't earn God's love by acting a certain way. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more or love you less. But there are ways that you can live that invoke God's blessing. And so we want to look at the four character qualities that God blesses from Daniel's life. And the first one, of course, was his integrity, his personal integrity. He never forgot who he was as a God follower. And so he literally said, you can change my address, you can change my name, but you can't change my heart. I'm not going to be conformed to your society's values. Now, you know, it's interesting that over the years, I've heard a lot of people say to me, Brian, I just wish I could figure out God's will for my life. And sometimes that's because they've gotten into the habit of trying to be conformed to what this world looks like. And all of us here today, we really have just two choices. You can conform to the world or you can be transformed. And if you decide to be conformed to the world, your goal often becomes just to try to fit in, to try to look exactly like the world. One of the first times I ever remember that happening in my life was back in junior high, is what we called it back then. It would be middle school today. And I remember when some of the clothing that we were wearing started to change shape just a little bit. And so I'm going to take you for just a moment back to the 70s. Remember when bell bottoms came in? Remember that? Remember bell bottoms came in? Now, when you look at them, that's just one of the silliest things you've ever seen, right? But I'll tell you what, I wanted to have some bell bottoms so I could look like everybody else. I wanted to conform to what other people were doing. Well, we're told in the Bible in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And notice what it says when that happens. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so there's an important question I'd want you to think about this morning, and the question would be this. Do I want to be like the world? Or do I want to live in a way that makes the world want to be like me? And that's really a lot of times the pull that we go through as Christ followers, because we live in this world that maybe we want to be like, and what we actually need to be doing is living in a way that would make the world want to be like us. Well, Daniel didn't want to be like the world if that meant compromising his faith in God. And that's because he believed he was part of a kingdom that would outlast any kingdom here on this earth. And it's what you and I, as Christ's followers, have to remember all the time. That's why when Paul wrote to some Christians in Philippi in Philippians 3:20, he reminds them, he says, hey guys, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Daniel displayed integrity. He never forgot who he was, a citizen of heaven. The second quality that we see in Daniel's life is discipline. He had some really strong discipline. He controlled his ego and his appetite. And it says Daniel made up his mind. He made up his mind not to eat the food and the wine given to them by the king. And I'm sure that because it came from the king's table, it had to be better than anything that Daniel had seen in a long time. But notice how Daniel demonstrates this tremendous discipline in spite of great temptation. I mean, there had to be temptation. I mean, think about it. If you were Daniel and you're a teenager, you're just 15 years old, and you're taken from your country by force. You're never going to see your parents again. And then the most powerful man in that country offers you all kinds of perks and says, you know, you're going to be on my personal staff, and I'm going to give you power and prestige, and you're going to get the best education possible. Would you have been able to turn that down? As a 15-year-old kid, and you're by yourself with no parental supervision. You know, we see that happening sometimes today in sports when young kids are good at football or basketball or soccer or whatever. And all of a sudden, they get drafted by the NBA or the NFL, and they're provided an enormous salary and all the perks, and they have a hard time handling all of that success. That's what's so amazing about Daniel. He's an incredibly disciplined 15-year-old kid without his parents. And instead of kowtowing to the most powerful man in the world, he basically says, you could give me all kinds of perks, but I'm never going to forget that I am a Jew and not a Babylonian and that I follow God. What amazing maturity for just a 15-year-old kid. I mean, I know adults who don't have that kind of discipline in their lives as well. So what's going on here? Well, for starters, we got to remember that the king's food might have tasted good, but it really wasn't that good for them. And, you know, just even studying this in these last few weeks have made me think a lot more about some of the things I'm eating. And so I'm kind of adjusting that. And if it does the same for you, I just encourage you. There's a resource out there. It's called the Daniel Plan. If you want to find out more about that, you can check that out. And you might think to yourself, man, I wish I could be more disciplined like Daniel. You know, God knew that you might need some help in that area. And so he actually provided for us when we chose to follow Christ some help. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for the spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and what? Self-discipline. I mean, when you became a Christ follower and received the spirit, self-discipline became an inside job. But you know, there's also a faith reason behind this. God had given the nation of Israel some very strict dietary laws. They're called kosher laws. And God did this, I think, partly just to make them healthier than other nations. But he also did it because he wanted them to remember that they were unique from every other nation. Now, we got to know that in the New Testament, We learned that we no longer have any dietary laws to follow. That was decided in the book of Acts. But I would just want to remind you that Christ still today intends for his Christ followers to live differently from the world. And we know that because in Romans chapter 14, we're reminded verse 17, Paul says, hey, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It doesn't have food anymore. But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a third quality that Daniel demonstrates, and that, of course, is courage. Daniel had incredible courage. He was willing to stand alone if need be. And I really appreciate Daniel here, although he intimidates me a little bit, because honestly, I think I often lack the kind of courage that Daniel had. I mean, it's hard to stand alone because it can make you feel so all alone. We got to recognize if you don't stand for something, the problem is you'll probably fall for anything. And it must have taken a great amount of courage for Daniel to ask the most powerful man in the world to exempt him from his prescribed eating plan. It would have been possible for the king to take that as an insult. And what makes it even more difficult is that he wasn't the only Jewish young man in the program. And even though he had three friends who went along with him, there had to be a lot of other Jewish men taken captive who saw no problem with eating the king's food and just jumped right in. And I'm sure some of those people thought, but everybody's doing it. Anybody want to confess that you ever tried to use that on your parents one time or another? Mom or dad, everybody's doing it. But you know, Daniel was able to say, I don't care if the whole world does it. If it's not right, I'm not going to do it. In Exodus chapter 23, there's an interesting verse of scripture that says, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. And then gives an example. When you give a testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. You know, we got to realize today, no matter how many people say something is right, that does not make it right. God is the one who decides what's right and wrong because he's God. It's not a majority vote. And often, that's why standing alone is going to require some courage, because you're going to go against the crowd. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul encourages the Christians. He says, hey, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Well, the final character trait that we see in Daniel's life is that of humility. Humility, that's the amazing thing. What an incredible kid. He was thoughtful with authority. When he knew that he couldn't do what he was asked, even though he'd been told he had to, it's amazing. He was still very tactful, demonstrating a lot of humility to the one in authority over him. And I just want to remind you today, if you're ever trying to get your way, you're rarely persuasive when you're abrasive. Kind of just stick that in the back of your mind. You're not going to convince very many people to change their attitude if you're abrasive in the way you do it. Well, the way Daniel made his appeal to the authority that the king had put in charge over him demonstrated this incredible respect. He knew that even though he didn't want to be, he was under the authority of a pagan leader. Now, I say that today because some of you have, through life, have had some bad bosses over you. And there might have been some of those bosses who asked you to do something dishonest or wrong. And if or when that ever happens, you need to know how to make an appeal, follow up what Daniel did. Well, did you notice that Daniel asked the chief official for what? For permission to eat other things. He didn't stand up and demand his rights. He didn't rebel. He asked for permission to be exempted. Now, the official, of course, said, you know, hey, if you aren't as healthy as the others, I'm afraid of the king, that he probably is going to have me beheaded. And honestly, that was a legitimate concern. That king had the authority to have his head cut off, so that was not a fake fear. Well, Daniel talked it over with him and offered a suggestion, showing how humble he was. He said, hey, let's just do a test for 10 days. And so the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion. At the end of those 10 days, his friend looks healthier and better nourished than any of the others. And after that, the guard let them eat their own food. And when the training program was all complete and the young men were brought before the king, Daniel and his friends impressed him above all the others. And it just reminds me of a statement that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 23. That really deals with the sense of humility. Here's what Jesus said. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And Daniel at 15 years old was willing to humble himself and some incredible things happened. And so think about it. Integrity, discipline, courage, and humility. These are four areas that God may test you in. And so just to kind of wrap things up this morning, whenever that happens in your life, I wanted to also remind you of four things to remember when attempting to swim upstream against the current of culture. And that's how a lot of times it's going to feel. And what you and I need to recognize is that these are all advantages that we have that Daniel did not have just because he grew up under the old covenant in the Old Testament. And so just remember, these are the things that you have with you to help you today to swim upstream against the current of culture. Number one, you can say, I have Jesus with me. I have Jesus with me. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, right before he left? He said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So you're never really completely alone. You might feel alone in the moment, but you're really not. Jesus is always with you. Not only do you have Jesus with you, but I have the Holy Spirit in me. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, dear children, you are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. We have an unfair advantage because we actually have God's Spirit in us, and those people around us that don't know Christ, they don't have that Holy Spirit. And then number three, I have the promises of God to me. Not only do I have the Jesus and the Spirit, and it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. You know, there's over 6,000 verses from God to you in the Bible, promises of God to you. And you can claim those promises when you're going through those difficult times and needing to stand firm. And then finally, I have the family of God around me. And folks, that's why you've got to be a member of a church. It's why you need to be in a small group, because that will provide the support you need to stand alone when the heat's on in your life. That's why Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians and said, hey, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so when we come up against challenges, we got to remember that I have Jesus with me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I've got the promises of God for me. And I've got the people of God around me. And that's what we're going to need as we move into the future. And so let me just wrap it up with one final thought. And we need to always keep this in mind. Life is a test. And it's a trust. God learns if he's going to trust us. And we got to keep remembering it's a temporary assignment. And somehow Daniel knew that. And so he lived in a way that honored God his entire life. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for just preserving for us the story of the life of Daniel. What an amazing young man. But Father, what made him amazing was just his trust in you and his desire to serve and honor you with his life. And you can do amazing things when people actually live that way. And so I pray that you would help us who are here today, who call ourselves Christ followers, to live with that kind of integrity and discipline and courage and humility. And pray that it'll have an amazing impact in this world. And if there's anybody here today who's not a Christ follower but needs to have that eternal assurance of their lives, pray that you would, as Glenn mentioned, just draw them to you today in response. And pray that we'll live, Father, the rest of our days on this earth with lives and hearts surrendered to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.